Hi, this is Kate. Make sure and go to preparewithkate.com. Preparewithkate.com. You're going to get special deals from my Patriot Supply and a payment plan. Isn't that amazing? You can do this on payments, which makes it easier on the budget. But make sure you have a food supply. Make sure you're adding to that food supply. All you need to do is go to preparewithkate.com. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, I'm well past the tinfoil hat stage. I need a good helmet for the banging my head against the wall stage. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Good morning. My name is Carol Rosin. In 1974, I was introduced to the late Dr. Wernher von Braun in the U.S., the father of rocketry. In my first meeting with him during that first 3.5 hours, he said to me, "Carol, you will stop the weaponization of space." He said, "No, you have to understand. This is February, and we have to prevent the weaponization of space because there is a lie being told to everyone that the weaponization of space is now first being based upon the evil empire, the Russians. There are many enemies," he said, "against whom we're going to build this space-based weapon system, the first of whom was the Russians, which was existing at that time. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be third world countries. Now we call them rogue nations or nations of concern. Then there would be asteroids." And then he would repeat to me over and over, "And the last card, the last card, the last card would be the extraterrestrial threat.
A potential national security threat, and they need to be treated that way. Today, we know better. UAPs are unexplained, it's true, but they are real. They need to be investigated, and many threats they pose need to be mitigated."
Hi there, welcome, Kate Daly Show. I have Melissa Smith on with me. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Kate, how are you?
I'm good. So that clip, very interesting clip, because we were warned by the head of NASA. The head of NASA, beyond his deathbed, and here it is again. Here we go.
"Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be third world countries. Now we call them rogue nations or nations of concern. Then there would be asteroids." And then he would repeat to me over and over, "And the last card, the last card, the last card would be the extraterrestrial threat."
Ooh, so I guess we're already there, because CNN today, CNN was really, they're really adamant about selling the story. Key lawmakers warned at a House hearing on Tuesday, that's yesterday, that unidentified aerial phenomena, formerly popularly known as UFOs, must be investigated now. And so we're going to talk about this because, man, a Congress UFO hearing? What? What were your thoughts when you saw this yesterday? We're being invaded by aliens. This is their biggest news story.
Didn't they see Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Yes. Well, we're all Richard Dreyfuss, baby. And so I couldn't believe it. Well, I could, because we've been saying for the last 3-4 years, this has started. All of a sudden, they weren't saying people were nutty anymore. They were going, well, there's some truth to this. And so you have to know right out of the gate, I do not believe in UFOs. I don't believe in little green men. So that's where I stand on it. But we're going to talk an awful lot about this. Where do you stand on UFOs? Can I ask, Melissa?
Sure, you can ask.
Sure.
And I don't rule it out.
Okay.
But I also have way more evidence to believe that the government lies than I do to believe that extraterrestrials are a threat, an imminent threat to our, how about this, an imminent and existential threat.
Yeah, yeah. Good point, good point.
I have lots of evidence that says that the government lies. And it's been a while ago, and I don't remember the source anymore. I remember reading somewhere, it was just a passing comment, and I remember it's one of those comments that just kind of hooks in your brain, that if they could not sell environmentalism to control populations, aliens were going to be their last stand.
Yeah.
So we can see how, you know, there's been pushback against the environmental stuff, pushback against, you know, global warming. People have challenged it. There's been a lot of controversy. But, you know, it's harder to push back against aliens.
It's just
harder because, you know, I can walk out my door and say, you know what, climate-wise, things are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
As they've always been. Yeah. We can look at graphs and charts and we can understand it's comprehensible. But we've just been through 2 years of fear-mongering, and we know that people can be fear-mongered.
Mm-hmm.
So is this the next horizon of the fear game?
Right. Right. And I did some research on this. So just as we're going to talk about this, I just wanted people to kind of understand where I'm at on this. I did a lot of research on it. I was curious about it because I think, to me, one of the UFO little green men thing is something that came about in the last century and not really before then. So before then, there were 13 cases of recorded history where somebody talked about something in the sky. But it wasn't saucers and it wasn't little green men. It was more like a comet sighting. Really, when you look at the descriptions, it's a comet is really probably what they were seeing. Maybe some sort of asteroid, who knows, but it was not what we classify as the unidentified flying object now. So I just wanted to get your take on that because there were only 13 before the 1940s.
Okay. Because I think people in the ancient world, number one, they had much darker skies than we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important piece of my logic here. And number two, ancient peoples were tuned into the sky in ways in which we are not today.
Right.
If there was something flying around in the sky,
mm-hmm.
they would have known it. They would have noted it. They would have talked about it. They would have left evidence of it.
Right.
And when I say ancient, you can start at the Stone Age,
mm-hmm.
and you can go all the way. We don't have any, even for the Romans, the skies were darker. You know, the Romans never wrote about that. And they would have if those things were happening.
Right.
So you don't have to go back to prehistory to say, why didn't the Greeks ever write about it? Why didn't the Romans ever write about it? Why didn't the ancient Chinese ever write about it?
Right.
You know, why didn't lots of people who had very dark skies and a very explicit knowledge of the skies write about those things?
You're right. You're absolutely right. And so just remember this. There were only 13 recorded in all of time, okay, recorded events where somebody looked up in the sky and recorded what they saw as an event. But then you get to the 1940s, and it's a huge explosion, isn't it? Huge.
Right.
Of movies and stories and tales.
Post-World War II.
Yep, exactly right.
At the exact moment when we are wondering in our internal government organizations
mm-hmm.
about what do the Russians know? What do the Japanese know? What kind of, you know, the whole hysteria that brings on the Cold War,
right?
That comes right out of World War II. That whole hysteria, is that what drove other things inside the government?
Yeah.
For example, it drove the whole MK Ultra, which doesn't start as MK Ultra, but it started this whole notion of, we know that the Russians and we know that the Japanese had some kind of mind control thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really explodes during the Korean War. We know that those evil Chinese, they have some way of making our people defect. The word brainwashing was invented during the Korean War to explain why detained Korean Americans that were detained as POWs in North Korea were saying, like, hey, we're dropping chemical bombs on North Korea. And the government said they had to be brainwashed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you make a great point. I had not connected MK Ultra to the spawning of the UFO stories.
Well, MK Ultra is spawned out of that whole hysteria about where the America got really wonky about what do they know, what can they do, you know, the space race, which mm-hmm. is a big deal, you know, it begins with, you know, atomic weapons. What can the Russians do? You know, how soon are they going to be able to do it? And people inside our government got weak-kneed that they could do more than they were projecting onto the Russians, projecting onto our international enemies, that they could do all these things, and we can't. So yep. We got to catch up. We got to be, yeah. And MK Ultra was one of the big things that gets spawned out of that. But it makes me wonder if the whole UFO hysteria is also, it's an MK Ultra project in a different government agency.
Yeah. I'm with you on this. And here's the deal. 1917, John Dewey of the Dewey Decimal System, you guys all probably know him from that, deep state guy. I mean, deep state guy. And he, when the Japanese were visiting here in 1917, there was a record of a reception where he stood and said, "Do you know what we need to get the world closer to a sort of world order so that it can be sort of run from the top is an alien invasion to get all the nations joining together, kind of to forget their sovereignty, in other words." It's really amazing that he said that back in 1917. And all of a sudden, we started having all of these different stories come out, all of these different things start piling on all at the same time, right? And look at the 1950s. Lots of UFO movies, right? I mean, anything in the movies is then pretty much kind of accepted. But I did think that was really strange. This was a luncheon at the Nippon Club, at the Nippon Club. So, yeah. And then there was a ballroom at the Hotel Astor, which, by the way, the Astors are a whole trip anyway. But rich family, where one of them just kind of mysteriously died on the Titanic. But anyway, I just wanted people to understand what was said. That's important to know.
It's fascinating. You know, they're calling, you know, we have to investigate the CIA threat. How many times have you heard that?
Yeah,
I know. This is not the first time in my lifetime that I have heard the people in the government, "We're going to investigate this. We're going to get to the bottom of it."
Yeah, right. How about that $2.3 trillion from 9/10? Oh, yeah, that's right. 9/11 happened.
Well,
yeah,
the first government investigation into UFOs comes in 1946 and was driven by the Air Force, which makes perfect sense. They might have a vested interest in knowing what's flying around in the sky with them, right?
Right.
And they, by 1947, they concluded that there was some evidence to suggest that there really were flying saucers, or there really were unidentified things in the air. Let's put it that way.
But all they want to do is probe us in the rear end, and for centuries, all they want to do. I guess that's exciting enough for them, because there's never been really anything more that's happened. But we have to go to
immediately following. That's called Project Sign. And after that came out, the government immediately recommissioned a new group to discredit Project Sign. It was called the second group was called Grudge.
We're gonna come right back, but we'll go over this again. This what she just said. Be right back. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
The sky had one long horn and one big eye. Like a Mr. Shaking in the city. It looks like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horn flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horn flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horn flying purple people
eater. A lot of songs, a lot of movies, a lot of... A lot of people, I think, getting suckered into the whole little green people are coming to get us and they don't like us. And here they are. So I'm going to talk about this with Melissa, of course. But and what a great conversation this is, because you might not agree with us, but hear us out. OK, on this, because I think there's some good points to be made here. Even if you're a diehard UFO, I believe in the UFO thing. Oh, I got to mention this. MyPillow, Mike Lindell, is doing a special for our listeners. This is big, because I asked him to do something for you guys, and that was to take a whole heck of a lot off those slippers so that you could get them. So the slippers, $90 off. You're basically getting them for free almost. Get the slippers. They're having this huge blowout. It's only temporary. It's just for you guys, and it's $90 off. These are the best slippers for Father's Day. If you don't have these, you need them, because they were built. Not only are they genuine leather on the bottom too, they are also shoes that you can wear out, you can wear in, and they're designed to take away fatigue. And then it's like you're basically you're walking on clouds. But with some support. It's really amazing. Go to MyPillow.com and score these right now while he's doing this for you guys, please. Because I did. I went out of my way. I asked him, please do something on the slippers so people could order these for Father's Day because they're that fantastic. I rave about them because they're that amazing. Please go to MyPillow.com, but you have to put in the promo code Kate to get that deal. So make sure you're doing it. It's very temporary right now. And snag those slippers for yourself. You're going to thank me for this one. They are fabulous. Anyway, all right. It's like walking on pillows of clouds. It's so nice.
It is, isn't it? Those are my favorite things. I come home.
Yep.
Put your feet in them, huh? As soon as I come home from church, man, my shoes are off and my slippers are on.
I love them, too. And let me just tell you, everybody I know that has them, right? Even Uncle Milty, everybody just wears them around all the time. I mean, we love them. So, all right. So let's talk about this. Because I was saying earlier, if you're just joining us, before the year really 1940, they only had one alien abduction story, and they had already proven it to be a hoax, and that was in 1897 or something, and it was done by a guy who told stories, large yarns, as they used to call them, right, tall tales. And before that, it was just like more like comet sightings. There really wasn't anything that said that a UFO existed or anything like that. All of this started from 1940 on. And the only person before 1940 in government or in leadership, I quote leadership, position was John Dewey, who stood up when Japan came to visit in 1917 and said that they needed what we really needed was an alien story to get the world together. And this was right after 1915 in the whole League of trying to plan out the League of Nations, trying to move us into one world order kind of stuff that didn't happen until after World War II. But at the time they were planning it. And he said we needed a made up alien invasion story to get the world together. So, okay. Where do you want to go from here?
Well, I just think that we should be much wiser about understanding how the government, number one, we need to understand that the government does know how to run a PSYOP.
Yes.
They have invested lots and lots of time and research and energy and money rounding up people all over the world who know how to run a PSYOP. They've brought them here. They've enlisted them. And, you know, I hear, you know, well, you know, people in the government aren't that smart. They couldn't keep a secret mm-hmm. like this for all these years. Well, they almost kept MK Ultra secret. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for some little paper trail that they forgot about,
right.
You would not know. And I don't think we know the entire scope of MK Ultra even today.
But yeah, that is an interesting point that it came out at the same time, that the story started ramping up about the same time MK Ultra. When the CIA, which was OSS, got the go-ahead to really start messing with people's brains and drugs and all kinds of things, it is kind of interesting what happens from that point on in history.
Well, two things. Number one, who coined the phrase conspiracy theory?
Mm-hmm.
That was not an organic word
no.
that has always been around.
Nope.
That was invented by government people to discredit people.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Other, like citizenry.
And that came at that same time. That's
yes, that comes yeah. out of that. All these things are birthed into our popular culture at about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is if you think about how I want to simulate someone having a wacky experience with, I'm going to simulate some kind of alien abduction.
Okay.
And by the way, in MK Ultra, they were specifically seeing if they could alter people's memories, if they could give them fake memories, if they could whatever, whatever. We don't know how successful they were with that.
Right.
We've been told that they couldn't do it, but there's some evidence around the edges, and maybe they were more successful than they wanted anybody to know.
Right.
But if I dropped LSD into someone's drinking water,
mm-hmm.
and they're on a really freaky trip, and you don't know anything about LSD. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it does. Could you be convinced you had an extraterrestrial experience?
Yes.
And LSD is only the most famous of the drugs that they were experimenting with. They were also experimenting with mescaline and magic mushrooms out of Mexico. Mm-hmm. They were looking for all kinds of different mind-altering, experience-altering, consciousness-altering drugs.
Right.
So, and by the way, the whole premise is, and we don't want to have to tell the people we're experimenting on that we're doing that.
So true. That's so true.
And so is it possible that a plot was hatched to kind of launch this UFO narrative out there, and it, we don't know. You know, was that, is that a sub-project of MKUltra? Can we get people to believe this?
Well, I'll tell you what, when I'm looking at the numbers, and I did all the research on this, too. I mean, I did research back in the day on this. From 1917, from when John Dewey said that, to 1940, and before that, really, even amongst the 13 incidences where they were really talking about a comet, if you look at what they said, it was nothing. So if aliens were real, they would have been coming the entire existence. They would have been coming the entire time. I don't feel like it would only be from the 1940s on when we could really capitalize on fear and we could really capitalize on the movies and we could really take it to all these different levels, right? You're not even seeing things in pyramids that point to an alien invasion or aliens coming.
No.
And the fact that we had 176 reported alien encounters that they said were official, 176 since 1940. It was like 1940 to 1990, 176. That's insane. There's a reason that all of a sudden space or aliens had this sudden interest in us, but all they wanted to do was come and probe us. Nothing else. Nothing. I mean, it's bizarre. I think when people buy into this, I think this is gaslighting on steroids to, you know.
Let's take a look at Wernher von Braun, too.
Yes.
Because I'm not sure how, maybe he's trustworthy, maybe he's not. And I bring this little, this is a little personal tidbit. Mm-hmm. I was just at the Huntsville, Alabama Space Museum, which is, Wernher von Braun was the head of that. It was it's the Rocket Research Center, Redstone Arsenal, which is where they tested all the stuff getting ready for the construction of the Mercury and Saturn rocket systems. And we are walking through the museum. We need to know who Wernher von Braun is, for one. Mm-hmm. And anyway, this was, they have, inside the museum, they have a big V2 rocket. And if you know what the V2 is, they were the rockets that were dropped on London by the Nazis. Okay. They have one in the museum with this, and I took a picture of it because it was so shocking. This was the sign, the little infographic that was stuck on it. Listen carefully to government posturing.
Okay.
The V2 was the culmination of years of research and development by Dr. Wernher von Braun and the team. He was inspired by Hermann Oberth's essays on liquid-propelled rockets. Von Braun knew that his dreams of sailing to the stars could only be achieved by the furthering development in this field. Lacking funds for independent research, he accepted the German Army's offer of a contract to develop his theories further in 1932. The V2 and the family of aggregate rockets was the result. Now, what's missing from this is, we can pull this apart a little bit. Wernher von Braun and the team, including Wernher von Braun, were highly placed Nazis that came to the United States via Operation Paperclip when they rounded up all of the rocket scientists that the Nazis were hiring and brought them here to run our rocket program.
Well, what's interesting when you say that, too, is we didn't just gleam the information off them and stick them in prison over here. We made them the head of NASA. I mean,
right. Wernher von Braun is, he's
insane.
My son was performing in the Performing Arts Center in downtown Huntsville called the Von Braun Center.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no secret.
But supposedly we fought the Nazis. We're against the Nazis. We call out the Nazis, yet we put them at the head of our organizations. It was a Nazi scientist who came up with the whole faux human-caused climate change.
Well, Do you hear anything in that description? It sounds like Von Braun is over there daydreaming of a trip to the moon, mm-hmm. and he realizes there's no funds available. No, Hitler went out and said, by the way, and Von Braun was a highly ranked SS officer.
Yep.
Like, he's not just in another info panel at the same museum. They have the exact memorandum, mm-hmm. a photostat copy of the memorandum that brought Von Braun and the team here. If these civilians are identified, Von Braun was not a civilian, and neither were his team. They were not civilians.
Right.
They were highly placed Nazi military officials. They should have been forbidden. They should have been put on trial. Mm-hmm. But yet again, the United States was so panicked that the Russians would get a hold of these guys and turn them toward Russian goals.
Right.
Maybe that's an understandable thing. You know, maybe in the time that we're talking about, this is before the war is quite just barely over and we're already worried about what the Russians can or can't do. And so we brought them here to run our rocket.
Yeah,
program.
In charge, so, not just info, in charge. That
right.
should speak volumes about what you think you know about World War II as well, by the way. Just
and
side reference.
The other thing that is omitted in this mm-hmm. whole, you know, my son is standing there looking at this V-2 rocket. He goes, that's really cool. He goes, I didn't know about these V-2 rockets. I said, you know, these are the when they firebombed London, mm-hmm. these are the rockets. He goes, what do you mean? These were dropped on London? That is not even hardly even scratch. This is my A push student from high school, did not know that V-2 rockets were dropped on London by the Nazis under the leadership of Wernher von Braun.
So we're going to come right back and let's talk about what Wernher von Braun said about Elon Musk, because this is really fascinating too. And Elon wasn't even born until 1971, but let's talk about that too. There's so much to talk about. And if they're not aliens and people have seen things in the sky, what are they? We'll talk about that too with Melissa. So glad Melissa's on with me today. Be right back. Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com. Hey, everybody. This is a special you need to be aware of for Father's Day. Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives, but he didn't stop by just creating the best pillow. Now he's done it again with My Slippers. Now, listen, this is the first time he's ever done this and gone this far, but for a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year is not going to last, so you've got to order right now, and you can order in time for Father's Day. He took over 2 years to develop these slippers. They're designed to wear inside and out. It's like walking on pillows, you guys. It's amazing. It's impact gel plus foam to prevent fatigue. And it's also made with quality leather suede. So make sure you go to mypillow.com and put in the code word Kate, and you're going to be able to get this deal. And it's for our listeners. So happy to be able to bring this to you. But what a deal that is. $90 off the My Slippers. You're practically getting them for free. So make sure you order up for Father's Day. I promise you, he does not have slippers like these slippers. Get them for the man in your life. They're going to love them. Thanks, you guys.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Make sure and get over to Balance of Nature. Love those guys, and they got a great product, too. 31 fruits and vegetables, the phytonutrients of those fruits and vegetables. And it's so interesting, too, because before I started taking it, I didn't realize I knew so many people that were taking it until I started talking about it, and all of a sudden...
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I definitely think it's a good product. Definitely worth keeping. You know, I've had all kinds of conversations with these nutritionists. I've asked them about products like yours, and they'll say, oh, well, we don't want you to take that. We just want you to eat all these vegetables and fruit. And I said, you know, you're talking to somebody here that hates fruit, and I will tolerate some vegetables. I think it only makes sense. There's no way I could eat enough fruit and vegetables to equal what this product is providing, is the way I look at it.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature right now. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com for more information or to place your order. Shipping is always free. And don't forget to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using discount code KATE.
Friends of mine had been taking it for 20 years, and they were my friends that were never sick. And I was like, what are you doing? And so I am telling you, this is a great way to build your immune system. And I recognize the fact that, oh my gosh, they are not sick. I mean, hardly ever. So it bolsters the immune system. I know that from firsthand experience, and also after taking it, and also my family taking it, and they won't go without it. What does that tell you? Make sure and go to balanceofnature.com, put in the code KATE, get 35% off and free shipping. I wouldn't talk about it unless I knew it worked. So please go to balanceofnature.com and get that product. A couple of things. Today they came out and said 400 instances. Congress is going to be talking about this. 400 hidden from us reported accounts of aliens. Okay. Now, I have to say this because I really respect Bill Cooper. Bill Cooper was really into the alien thing because he said that he was able to get documents that were leaked, okay, and he came out and he said, oh yes, aliens exist and they're hiding them from us until the end of his life. And the end of his life, his life was cut short. He was gunned down by FBI. But right before he died, and talking about 9/11 and things like that, right before he died, he said that it was a hoax and that he had been played. And so the reason that they kept the documents like hidden, but here's a little leak, but we didn't give this to you. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. They played the other side. And so he came forward going, oh my gosh, I was played too. And so just before he was gunned down, that happened. I've got that on tape. And I think that they have been playing the story since the 40s. I think that they have acted like they had aliens at Area 51. Where are those bodies, by the way? Where are they? If you want to really prove to us that this happened and that they've been hiding it, and now all of a sudden they just had this, I don't know what, of conscience and decided to tell all of us all their secrets, I don't believe one second of it. And I think they're promoting it just like Wernher von Braun said on his deathbed when he said, yes, they're going to promote that as that last card to get the world to forget their sovereignty and come together under a world kind of order. But I want your take on this because Wernher did talk about Elon, which was really weird.
He did. And Wernher von Braun actually wrote a book about Mars, about going to Mars.
Yeah.
And the head, he wrote in his book called The Mars Project that Mars would be governed by someone who would be named or designated as Elon. And the Elon was a title for like president or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Two houses of parliament on Mars were going to be enacted by laws to be administered by the Elon and his cabinet. But he also said in the same book, and this was meant to be fiction, right? This mm-hmm. is not a book of fact or prophecy. He was writing a book imagining, you know, being able to go. But he also said that humans would find a peaceful indigenous civilization that resides underground on Mars. So, you know, if we balance it all out, who knows? Maybe the book was Elon's mother's favorite book.
Yeah. Who knows?
But it's certainly, that connection is certainly interesting.
Yeah.
What I find to be even more interesting about what von Braun said
mm-hmm.
is that he claimed at the same time as issuing this big warning about the government using UFOs as a pretext to build more weaponry for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
He said that we already were in possession of anti-gravity technology and vehicles had already been built, and that entire transportation systems that were not fossil fuel based,
mm-hmm.
but would travel on beams of energy
mm-hmm.
Were already that technology already existed. And I know that you agree with me that we do not know what technology the government has.
Yep.
And I believe their technology is far, far ahead of what we in the population think. But as I think about what he just described, in fact, I scribbled in the margins as I was reading it, that sounds very much like what Nikola Tesla was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That there is an energy source available in the world, that it's free for everybody. I just saw an article float through my feed today that there's a picture of Tesla in a some kind of automobile, for want of a better description, that had no engine.
Right.
It was running on his, you know, whatever Tesla's energy source was. So what happened to Tesla's notes? Where are
they? Well, Donald Trump's uncle, his great uncle, right? That was who went in to look and review all of Tesla's notes when he died. And then he came back and said, nothing to see here, folks. And that was it. That was the end of that story. Very
Does
strange.
Anyone believe that there was really nothing to see?
Of course not. Of course not. His technology, I mean, they had already, he had already known that you could do wireless. I mean, he'd already understood all of these things and had them in his notes. And so, of course, they have been gleaming off of Tesla. Tesla died very poor, and I think he was murdered. I think he was taken out. A lot of people do. And so that's a whole nother show, just because there's so much around that.
Yeah.
And George Bush Sr. and everything else. There's so much around the Bush family with Tesla and everything else. But at the same time, you have to recognize that they knew they had these notes, and they were able to do a lot of things. The Nazis had a lot of technology, tons of technology. Obviously, it's why Operation Paperclip. And I think that if we knew what they could do, it would scare us into a very quick revolution. And so I think they've kept it quiet for a long time, because by the time we figure out what they can do technology wise and what they have against us, I think it'll be too late for us, honestly.
Well, the little drip feed is enough to give everybody hesitation.
Yeah, it's true.
Who would, you know, I'm not in a position to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, none of us really are. There may be people in the government who know what the truth of that is, but
right. That's
not, they're not talking to me.
Well,
it's also very interesting that Von Braun, after Von Braun was dead, there was another, you know how government operations go.
Mm-hmm.
There was, what's it called? Project Blue Beam.
Yes, that's a scary one. We've talked about this one on the show. Sergey Manas died.
It's kind of hologram technology. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's like what's coming, and that's why I said they're going to recreate the coming of Christ, but do it their way, and they're going to con a lot of people out of Christianity. What they're going to do is they're going to present, it really talks about what they do to Christians in about 12 steps, what they do to get us to deny God, and then also, so all those steps, but also the kind of technology where you can hear and see things in the sky that you don't, that you're not actually seeing and hearing, but people are going to think they're real. And this Project Blue Beam is one of the scariest. When people ask me what's some of the scarier things I've ever read tens of thousands of hours of research, Project Blue Beam is right up on the list. Scary.
Well, there, we already don't know what we don't know about 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
We can't know. And the people, I wish if there was one, if I had one wish, I wish I had a magic wand to make people understand and question every single word that comes out of anyone that works in the government's mouth all the time.
Yeah.
Because I think, like I said at the very beginning of the show, I have way more evidence to believe that the government lies on a habitual and routine basis
right.
than I do to believe that there are little green men from wherever they, you know, Alpha Centauri beaming in.
I'll even go one up on that. You try to find something they've been honest about. Because really the only thing I can find is when they're reporting about a natural occurrence like an earthquake, and that's even subjective just because they've been able to do so much with HAARP and everything else. But honestly, find something that they've been completely honest about. You won't be able to find anything.
Sincerely, I listened to a guy on YouTube who, interestingly enough, has been censored on YouTube because he was always comparing what other meteorological groups were reporting about earthquakes and volcanic eruptions that our government was not reporting on inside the United States.
Yeah.
So they're not even telling the truth about that.
No. And when these stories started, see, you would have seen them a lot longer in history, in recorded history, than just the 1940s on. And there's a reason that, like you said, when you start to make the connections between the UN, because that would be the reason to have aliens come in. I mean, look at every single movie, all the propaganda. Oh, well, once the aliens come, then we have a UN type government deciding what to do for the world. It's always the world. It's never the USA anymore. It's always the world versus we all come together to fight the alien force. There's a lot
Isn't
of propaganda
that the
here.
Plot in every science fiction novel?
Yes. Yes.
About alien invasions. We have to meet this as a united Earth.
Yeah. America doesn't matter. Now it's the Earth. And that propaganda has been in so many movies. I mean, it's just, it's been handed to us, you know, year after year. Think about that. All the movies you've seen with that sort of, you know,
everything from Mars Attacks
description. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could go on for days about this because when I looked into this and really wanted to know, I mean, I really wanted to know, I spent days and days and days really hunting down all of the proof and the stories and everything else. And the conclusion I came to was we're really screwed because the right gets gaslit by several different things, you know, like JFK Jr. is alive. Okay, that's one of them. And aliens, there's another one. We get gaslit on this side. And what it does is it serves to discredit the right, okay? Because you're asking truly good questions, although I do feel like this is a way to hide what we're doing. It's always to hide what they're doing as a government. And if you put an alien story out there, then people go, oh, they're hiding aliens. And then they act like they're hiding aliens. They act like it. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to get report after report. Remember, we said this 4 years ago on the air, right, Melissa? I remember having this conversation with you. Here we go, because they started going, well, we're going to start leaking out the stories now. We have an obligation to let the people know. And I was like, wow, they're flipping now with all this secrecy. Now they're flipping. This is so crazy.
You know,
it's so obvious.
As I think about this, this is a story that kind of came, then we had COVID, and it disappeared.
Yeah.
But what COVID was an exercise in fear-mongering.
Yeah.
When the alien story comes back again, it's going to ride the back of the last 2 years and how we're so terrified of anything that might kill us all. You know, another pandemic, and what will happen if the aliens, you know, hate us, or if they bring in a disease here? Can you imagine what would happen if they somehow are able to hatch a plot that a new, totally, literally alien disease is among us?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And would we not all be afraid?
Yep. Honestly, people would be on that. Yeah, they would be.
And we wouldn't know whether it came out of a freaking lab or not.
Yeah.
Because it would be, you would not be able to question it. They're already putting into place right now with the World Health Organization. It's going to have to be global response pandemic from here forward.
Yep.
You know, whatever your local country is going to do is not going to be enough.
And what did William Casey say? Head of the CIA? Oh, we'll know our disinformation campaign is complete when everything the American population believes is false. There's a reason.
We're not so far away from that.
We're really not. There's a reason they're doing all of this. There's a reason that they're finally, having a conscience and telling you things that you should never know about because according to them, they had to keep it secret. There's a reason. They're playing a game. Do not fall for the game.
It's a psyop, and the one thing I will say that the government knows how to do
Yep.
Is a PSYOP.
Is a PSYOP, and they're real good at it.
They've been doing it for a long time now.
I know. Thank
you. Quite successfully.
They really have. Thank you. Wow, and we could go on for hours on this one. I've got so much information on this. Thank you so much, Melissa, for bringing some pieces that I hadn't even thought of. So I really thank you for that. Really appreciate it. Melissa Smith on every Wednesday with me, and then Susan's coming up next, so stay with us, of course. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Hi, this is Kate, and I just wanted to let you know about a new product that I fell in love with, and I want you to have it too, and you can get a special deal on it right now. It's a wonderful sanitizer that really cleans, hospital grade. They use electricity to do it, and it's really natural, and it's not sticky. It doesn't have alcohol in it. It's just an amazing new product, and it's concentrated, so you actually get tons of bottles of it for a really low price, and it stores well for prepping. So I would highly recommend this, and get it while you can. Instead of $250, you can grab it for $44. This is at the bottom of my homepage. You can find the little ad on the bottom of my homepage, katedalyradio.com. Click on it. You'll love this product.
We need a new kind of clean. To do that, Clean Start combines two of nature's most powerful forces, water and electricity, to produce electrolyzed water, or HOCl. HOCl is your body's first internal response after an infection or trauma. In fact, it's significantly more effective at killing bacteria, viruses, mold and mildew than bleach or other household cleaners. Clean Start's globally patented tablet-based hand sanitizer turns any quart of tap water into FDA-approved, alcohol-free hand sanitizer and registered wound care solution to a new kind of clean. Clean Start.